If you are a chef that's on Instagram and you making reels, yeah, and you got a lot of followers and it's making you money, it works.
There's different ways to be a chef nowadays.
Exactly. I've been cooking for 27 years.
Wow.
I've been a professional chef for like almost 15 of those years.
Yep.
I was doing like 100,000 in food sales, and when he took over and did the consulting, within 6 months we was up to like 250,000, 300,000. I used to always live by that motto: overwork and underpay myself.
What's the mistakes that aspiring restaurant owners and restaurant owners should be looking out for?
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, and today I'm bringing you guys one of the biggest and best restaurateurs. I don't even know if I'm saying the word right. In Atlanta, y'all. I'm talking about owner of Toast on Lenox. I know you've been there. If you haven't been there, now unrolling another concept with a cafe. And I'm sure so many more restaurants have come with him and his partner, y'all. So without further ado, my God. Chef, what up, man?
What up, man? What's going on?
Hey, thank you for coming on, bro.
Great, man.
Yeah, bro. So
I appreciate you having me.
Man, so I've been in Atlanta now about 4 years. How long y'all been open?
We've been there for 3 years.
3 years, bro. Dang, time is flying.
Time flying.
Bro, when I talk about by far one of the best restaurants, bro, one of the busiest I see, and y'all always just get it done. So I appreciate just the love that y'all show me and just everybody. It's just, it's lit, bro.
We appreciate you too.
Yeah, bro. So how long you been in the game, bro? Like, what made you... I be watching on your Instagram live sometimes. You literally in this kitchen, like, you getting them orders out. Like, how long? Like, you're a master at this point. How long you been chefing?
Well, I wouldn't say a master, but I'm working towards the master.
All right, got it.
But I've been cooking for 27 years.
Wow.
I've been a professional chef since, for like, almost 15.
Wow.
15 of those years.
Yep, okay.
You know, I mean, I appreciate the art.
Yeah,
you know,
you truly love it.
Yes.
Were you a kid in the kitchen cooking? Like, where did you think the love come from? No, like,
I wasn't a kid in the kitchen cooking, but when I was, you know, about 15, 16 years old, my mother had got me a summer job. Shout out to my mother.
Yeah.
You know, she had got me a summer job at the Sands Casino. And that's when I really, really fell in love. My cousin Kyrie made the phone call, though. He the one that called the chefs, because he was a chef as well.
Okay.
He made the phone call, and I got the job as a line server.
Wow.
You know, and my chef at the time, I don't remember his name, but he had told me, he said, listen, the next day you come to work, bring a notepad and bring a pen, and I want you to write down everything that you're picking up and you're dropping off.
Wow.
We had to keep the buffet full.
Yeah.
And I took that pen. I wrote down every item. I used to go on a walk-in, and I used to pull the chef in the walk-in with me, and I said, what's this herb called? He'd say, thyme, rosemary, cilantro, parsley, tomatoes, cipollini onions, you know, different onions and different mushrooms. And I wrote everything down, and about probably like 6 months later, they promoted me to an intermediate cook.
Wow.
This was in the Sands Casino in Atlantic City.
Yeah, because you from Chester, but grew up in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I'm from Chester, okay. PA, but I grew up in Atlantic City.
Okay.
And the rest was history. I took a local 54 culinary program.
Yep.
And worked with some of the best.
Got it. So you've owned a restaurant for the last several years, but been in the game 15 years. What made you say, yo, I got to go get my own?
No, I've been a chef.
I've been cooking for 27 years. Been professionally cooking chef. For 15 years.
No, I've been a professional chef for 15 years.
Okay.
So I transitioned from a cook to a chef.
Okay. What's the difference?
The cook is the one that takes the orders from the chef. The chef is the one that, you know, orchestrates, create the recipes, create the menus.
Okay.
Manage labor, food costs.
Okay.
Operations.
Got it.
You know, so
you pretty much running the show.
Yeah, it's basically the chef is the one that's running the show and positioning everybody to what their job duties are. And if they seek the talent that's in the kitchen and they think that the cook is doing a great job, he may promote him to a sous chef.
What's a sous chef? I always hear it.
A sous chef is a chef that comes up under the chef de cuisine.
Okay.
So a sous chef is like the chef supervisor of the kitchen, the manager of the kitchen.
So when I think, as you were explaining, I'm like, yo, I'm putting this on real estate, but it sounds like a chef, and I don't want to undermine him. It's like the general contractor who run this show, and now I got all my sub. I'm putting, basically putting everything together.
He's a GC. He's a GC, and the construction workers are the construction workers.
Yeah, got it.
And then you have your foreman, too.
Okay.
So basically, the GC, then the foreman, right? That's how it goes, right?
Yep.
So the GC, the
I don't know how it go, but I don't know how the foreman part go, but
okay, I think the executive chef is the executive chef, and then the GC or the GC is the foreman.
Yep.
The sous chef.
Yep.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I said it right. I don't know.
So for you, what made the transition where you're like, yo, I'm about to go get my own spot? Like, I'm about to
actually, you know, there was an incident that happened prior to us opening up Toast, and you know, my business partner was like, "Chef, you know, I had that concept Toast.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, I mean, I can't see myself doing it with nobody else, but with you, vice versa, too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
shout out to Tamara Young.
If it wasn't for her, I'm pretty sure it would have happened. It would have happened probably a year down the line, but." She kind of, you know, she pressed the envelope and said, come on, let's go. Let's open up this concept. Let's open up Toast.
Bro, did you know it was going to blow up like that when y'all first opened it, bro? Did you have a clue?
Yeah, I knew it.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, the reason why I knew it, what made, I think every, you know, project that I've taken on, I was always nervous. So I was nervous a little bit, but from what I did at the prior restaurant, you know, and all the consulting jobs I used to do. I used to do a lot of consulting for other restaurants, and I would take their numbers. And some of the guys I did the consulting for, they'll let you know, like, he took our numbers from, we probably was doing, like, over 100,000 in food sales. And when he took over and did the consulting, within 6 months, we was up to, like, 250,000, 300,000. Wow. In food sales.
Wow. Let me ask you this.
On a month-to-month basis.
Wow. Though. Let me ask you this, Chef. What are some of those questions that they had during that consulting? Like, what's some of the common questions that people ask you when they're trying to, I guess, grow their restaurant business?
A lot of times, a lot of kitchens be out of control. Like, when I first moved to Atlanta, a lot of our restaurants, and I'm talking about black-owned restaurants, weren't structured properly.
Got it.
They was lacking organization. They was lacking, you know, food costs was out of control. Labor was out of control. Yeah. And then the food wasn't up to its standard.
Yeah.
And I used to always live by that motto, overwork and underpay myself. Mm. So that way nobody would ever sit there and say, man, we overpaying this guy and he's not doing the job. So I was on the phone with a friend of mine named Yvette. She's still over. She's a general manager over at Sweet Lounge. And that's why I originally started at
Sweet Lounge. That's next to the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Lucky Street.
Okay.
Yvette and I was talking, and she was like, we just can't find a chef. Like, she said, Chef, you used to come in at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and you wouldn't leave till 12 o'clock at night. Mm. And I was only making $50,000 at the time.
Yeah.
But my name was way more important than the money.
Yeah.
Because the money only is going to take you so far. You know what I'm saying? So I would overwork myself and underpay myself. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to show what I knew how to do. So that way when I went and asked for it, or if I didn't get it right then and there, I knew what I was working towards. Mm. And it takes time, though. This food game is vicious, man. You can't come in and expect to do 8 hours as a chef.
Wow.
It doesn't work like that, especially when you're the chef of the restaurant. You got to focus on making sure the food quality is there. I would come in. I would have to be there for prep shift, and I would have to be there for the dinner shift.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't leave until the last plate went out.
Wow. Let me ask you this, because I want to stay on there. I'm just curious. Y'all close at 4 or 5. Why not open back up at 7 and do dinner till 11? Is that you ever been a thought? Toast at dinner, toast on links, dinner, like to maximize.
Well, we maximize off of events.
Okay.
Yeah, we do a lot of events
at night.
At nighttime.
Okay. All right. See, because I always wonder. I'm like, yo, why don't restaurant? I think about the Breakfast Club. Yo, you close at 3.
three. What?
But if you knew the if you knew the numbers, you know, shout out to Atlanta with all the entrepreneurs that's out here.
Yeah.
But if you knew the numbers, that.
Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.
A lot of brunch restaurants was doing.
Okay.
They're doing the same numbers as dinner restaurants.
Okay. All
right. I mean, we're doing the same numbers as dinner restaurants.
Well, why not get the extra money again? Go back to your concept. Work harder. Why?
Worth it.
All right. That's why I want. Because I'll be curious. I'm like, yo, why is somebody going to go get all that money?
This is a business. We call it the labor of love.
Okay.
Like, this is a sweat equity business, and it's just the wear and tear, man, on your body, and it's a lot.
Got it, okay.
You know, so
I hear a lot of people say, because I still be like, yo, let me get a restaurant. Then so many people are like, don't get a restaurant, So I still, that's why I like having this conversation, because if I ever get one, I'm told me about this.
It's definitely a cultural business. It's not a business where any entrepreneur can get into unless they understand the culture.
Yeah.
It's not just because you think that you're doing good in this, you could come over to the restaurant and it'll separate. It'll show you that you ain't that much of a good as businessman that you thought you were.
Wow.
That's the restaurant.
Wow.
It's like the music, but it's going to make you or break you.
Wow. Fast.
Yeah, fast.
So when y'all opened up, what was the mindset or the formula? Because like you said, you already knew wherever you were working at, you knew what was working, right? What was the formula where you like, yo, I know you knew it was going to take off. Is that marketing? Is it the food? Because what keeps me coming back to your spot, me personally, and me being a social media marketer, I feel like y'all utilizing your social media, but other people are utilizing it, posting and sharing. And one of the ways that I tell so many people, like, you need to make the food Instagrammable. When it come out on that platter, you got the fruity pebbles French toast. You got everything just looks incredible. Like in so many restaurants, I feel like they're missing the mark on that. How important is making the food look good for your bop, like helping you make more money?
I just think hard work. You know, like I said, and before I stepped away and hired a full-time chef, I was in the kitchen for a whole year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, before I felt like I needed to step back and start worrying about operations and recipe developing, menu developing, and research. It's all about letting, you know, my chef de cuisine, I'm going to call our executive chef of the restaurant, get the shine and help her hard work and execute. I say if you can love my product, then ain't no telling what you're going to do when you get your own product and you put your own stuff on the plate. So, you know, she's doing a great job. Chef Aaliyah, she's doing a great job doing that. Even Chef Jose in our Midtown location, they're doing a great job. I come in, taste everything. I be like, nope, got to put this neat salt and pepper.
Yep.
You ever seen that meme going around when a guy, when they got the dishwater, the chef stick his hand in the dishwater?
No.
And as soon as he turned his back, all the cooks laughing at him. It's really dishwater. He think it's a sauce.
Right.
Yeah. So I do that.
Yeah.
Of course, it ain't dishwater.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
But man, just hard work.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah. And I'm happy you saying it because I want people to understand before you get in this game, like, if you don't got that work ethic, it's over with.
No, you definitely got to have a work ethic.
Yeah.
You definitely got to have a work ethic. And just knowing, you know, like I knew what I was going to do in that kitchen, and my business partner knew what she was going to do in as far as the design work. And we do our own marketing.
Yeah.
You know, people, they love us too. They love us in the city. So yeah, a lot of people come support us.
Yeah.
Shout out to all of our extended family. I don't like to call them customers. I call them like extended families because when they come to Toast, they come to our house.
Yeah, that's good. Let me ask you, you just said recipe development. So right now, I mean, from everything on that menu seem like it's slapping. When, as a chef or a restaurant owner, when do I decide to add more or to take away? So when you're saying restaurant development, are you adding new dishes? Are you taking away ones that don't work? Like, walk me through that process.
So, I mean, it probably took me 10 different times to do one dish to say, hey, this is the one.
Yeah.
You know, but not only that, the customers are going to let you know if that's the one or not. You know, first your staff, and once your staff tastes everything, if everybody say it's good, 9 times out of 10 is good. And the customers are going to be the one to pick that dish and say, yo, this is the one. This is the one that we need, and we're going to come back and forth for that.
Yeah.
Like with the honey hot sauce.
Yeah, that honey hot sauce. Yo, shout out the honey hot sauce. Yo, that honey hot sauce, it go on everything.
Everything. You can put it on anything.
I don't even know if I got a post on the other day, bro. I put it on a piece of bread. I don't know if I tagged you in that. It was crazy, bro. That honey hot different.
That is funny.
Yeah,
so like, you know, like I knew that Atlanta had that honey hot sauce that was in all the clubs and they was tossing them wings in all the clubs. I said, you know what? Everybody like to just drench their chicken with hot sauce anyway.
Yeah.
Why don't I just make a Georgia honey hot sauce and toss my fried chicken in it, and I just put it on top of some collard greens and sweet potatoes.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, because that's how the sweet potatoes are done, right?
I baked the sweet potatoes.
No, but I remember tasting the outside of just chicken. That honey hot is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah.
It's different, bro. So for you, so with that, like you said, but is there a thing like now, even at this level of success you're on, is there things on the menu that may not sell as good and then you swap them, or do you just ride out? Like, when do you change these things? Or
A lot of stuff that wasn't selling in the beginning on the menu,
yeah,
I swapped them out already. So everything on our menu sells.
Sells, okay, good.
Which is a great thing.
Which is, how do y'all keep popping from the moment you walk in? And it's rare that I ever call you to get in, but if you don't put your name on that waiting list, you don't know somebody, you may have to wait 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. But how good does it feel to know you got that demand all day, bro? Like, you're serving hundreds of people a day, every day. It's not a pop-up restaurant. So I don't know if I'm just giving you your flowers to you and your partner. I don't know if y'all ever understand, like, to serve hundreds and hundreds of customers every day, to have them physically come to your place, that's not a small feat. I go to a lot of restaurants here in Atlanta, they're empty.
But you know what's so crazy?
Yeah.
You can't cheat this game. Like, you can't cheat the restaurant business.
Yeah.
And it's going to be based off, like, we put a lot of money out on payroll. We got a big staff.
Yeah.
And people always say, oh, my God.
You got a lot of people in there. Yes. Why do you got? Because it'd be like, when I'm in there, sometimes I'm like, yo, it's like 14 people I'm counting in here. And I don't know what's back in the kitchen.
Because we're operating the way a restaurant should operate. We're not trying to cheat the game.
Yeah.
We're not cheating the game. Like, I got a prep crew, and I got a crew that come in that stock the line up.
Doing it the right way.
Yeah, I'm doing it the right way. The way I was trained.
Why do it the right way when it may be more money in doing it, like having 4 less people? What makes you say, no, I'm still going to do it that way? Because most people are going to cut corners.
Because somebody could call out. Mm. You know, I mean, I can't go buy me a Bentley. I got to put it in the business.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I can't go shopping every week because I got to put that money into the business. So that way, if 3 people got to call out before I have to step on the line.
That's good.
So that's my luxury. They're my luxury.
Ooh, that's good.
That's my luxury. So our staff is our luxury. So if one person call out, my chef don't have to step foot on the line. If 2 people got call out, my chef still won't have to step on the line. She still can sit back and expedite because we could pull the prep guy because everybody's cross utilize everybody. Mm. We can pull a prep guy, put him on the line, and she can still expedite because she's the quarterback.
How often do y'all train them, bro? Like, how often do you train? Like, how often should you train your people?
You should give them all, like, you'll be able to tell if they're good after a week.
Yeah.
You know, but like, my chef been with me for 10 years. My other chef in Midtown been with me for 10 years.
Got it, okay.
And, well, I've known her for 10 years. She worked with me before. She took a break. She was doing other stuff with other chefs, too. And then she came back. But she basically know how I work. Yeah. And then majority of my staff been with me for like 8-9 years.
Wow, nice.
They kind of follow me everywhere I go.
That's love. Let me ask you this, chef. When did y'all know it was time for number two? Like, for a restaurant
Listen, my business partner, she pressed the envelope. She be like, chef, I found another location.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, nigga, just get ready.
Yeah.
Just get ready. I was like, all right, let's go. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we knew we were ready once we start getting over capacity over there. You know what I mean? So the parking lot start getting too out of control.
Yeah, parking lot be crazy.
Yeah, it made sense, even in the summertime, you know. So it made a lot of sense. And I was like, yeah, we could break up. But it still didn't. It's still the Midtown location is not affecting the Buckhead location.
So it's not like a thing. Because I think I asked you that earlier. I'm like, bro, we're opening a new spot. Are you losing money or people coming here? And you're like, no. It's like having two separate things, you mentioned.
Yeah. That must have been wild too.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I said wow.
So, bro, y'all basically becoming Atlanta staple.
Like, yeah, Killer Mike even said in the Grammy interview, he said something about we gonna go to Pascal's, and then he was like, "I'm gonna take you down to Toast on Lennox."
Yep.
I was like, "Wow, I really appreciated that." You know what I'm saying?
That's, bro. It's powerful. So number two is generally, hey, you're over capacity. You're getting so much demand. Crazy. Let me ask you, do you keep a spot open?
Hey, stop what you're doing. I know you're watching this episode. I want you to go to 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I'm going to say it again, 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I had the privilege this year to help multiple people do 6 and 7 figure days leveraging virtual events. And I put together a 7-step process that's going to walk you through a step-by-step-by-step. And once you're done with that book, if you're like, Neo, I want to learn this a lot more in a deeper sense, I want you to go to mastermindwithneo.com. This is one pillar of my mastermind, right? We got 5 different pillars that we teach. This is just one pillar, how to dominate virtual events, right? So if you're interested, go to mastermindwithneo.com and book a call with my team to see if you are a good fit to join our mastermind. Let's go.
Like, I go to Poncho
like
Spot. Do y'all keep, like, always
for
celebrities or for somebody?
Okay. Just in case we get a last-minute phone call.
Okay.
A lot of people be on the wait list, and, you know, they'll call us. Normally, you guys call us first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And we have that spot open for all the customers out there that think that because somebody has a following or they're not more important to y'all. They always call us the day before, 3 days before, and they put their own reservation in. So
Got it. All right. Yeah. Sure. Make sure y'all heard that disclaimer. I ain't getting nothing too special, y'all. I've never actually called you to get in there, but no, I don't think
you always have a reservation.
Yeah. Reservations or I go wait. But normally I know my strategy for busy restaurants, I go right before they close.
That's right.
Or I go soon as they open. I got a strategy when they busy.
That's how I am. I don't go. I go an hour before they close.
Yep.
Or first thing in the morning.
That's my specialty, especially that hour before they close.
I wish people understood what we go through back there in that kitchen, man. Yeah. Just trying to feed everybody all at one time.
Yeah.
And make sure every dish goes out perfect.
Yeah.
Even though we're not perfect.
Yeah. What's some mistakes that aspiring restaurant owners and restaurant owners should be looking out for or trying to avoid, like, kind of when you was consulting others? Like, I'm sure there are some mistakes that are happening that, yo, you got to try to figure out how to avoid that because it's going to cost you in the long run. Anything come to mind when you think about that?
Cheating the game. You can't cheat the game. You got to make sure that you have the right management staff.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that You also training your employees, putting a lot of money into training.
Yeah.
And just put money into your chef if you're not a restaurateur. Partner up with a chef if you're not a restaurateur.
Yeah.
If you don't understand the game. It's not gonna, you know, as long as you make that money back, everything else is a profit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As long as you, especially if you have a chef that's out, that's huge and they got a big name, and you know that they're gonna come there for the food, you know, just make sure that you put that money behind them, because you could crash real quick in this business. You could think that you're doing good, and you could crash.
Crash right out.
And you crash out.
What's some of your favorite restaurants in Atlanta?
It's a lot of good restaurants.
Yes.
You know, I kind of go to restaurants for creativity.
Got it. Okay.
And I, you know, like I'll go like to, you know, my homegirl got Southern Fire.
Yeah, I go to Southern Fire. I like Southern Fire.
My homegirl got Southern Queens on the east side. I mean, in Kirkwood.
Queens. Yeah.
In Kirkwood. My boy, Chef Anthony, got Atlanta Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Lorenzo got the Breakfast Boys
over
there in East Point. Okay. Of course, Poncho.
So y'all got like your own little community.
Yeah.
It ain't no, this my competition. It's my dogs.
I mean, anybody that get into this business for that,
yeah,
they automatically going, I mean, there's a possibility they're going to fail.
Right, 100%.
You know, because we're supposed to be in this together. We got to keep, that's why I don't get into the, that person's an Instagram chef or this and that. Man, listen, if they're making money that way.
Let them do their thing.
I'm letting them do their thing because, you know, the other people don't talk about Instagram chefs or Food Network star chefs. I embrace everybody. Yeah. I embrace everybody. That, if this is how you're making a living, if you're a chef that's on YouTube or on Instagram and you making reels and you got a lot of followers and it's making you money.
It works. There's different ways to be a chef nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shout out my sis Sierra Glam Shop. Like she's a chef. Right. She's heavy on social media.
I keep on telling her.
Yeah.
I keep telling her, man. I'm like, listen, open up a restaurant.
Yeah.
If you need my help, you know, I got you. Yeah. You know, and I won't even charge her.
Yeah.
I did a lot of stuff for free too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, like my boy Stryker.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost about time for him to get a restaurant.
I keep telling him he definitely need a restaurant.
It's all because the
Land Shop's crazy.
I understand why a lot of people that do private chefing and catering, doing that and opening up a restaurant is two different worlds.
Yeah.
But as long as
what's harder, you think?
Restaurants.
Yeah,
restaurant.
That's probably why people ain't want to do it, because they thinking hard about the labor, thinking about the...
Yeah, it's harder, yeah. You got to manage all that.
Manage people?
Yes.
How are you managing...
Different personalities.
You got over 40, 50 people between your restaurants?
No, we got over 90.
90?
Yeah, you got 90 employees.
That's a lot of management, bro. How are you keeping that up? Like, is that you or your partner? Who
around
that part? Yeah, that more. Yeah.
Around. It's both of us. You know, it's a culture thing. Like I said, like I've been in the culture for 27 years.
Yeah.
She's been in the culture for over 15 years. And, you know, we take our, like I said, like it was our idea to say, yo, listen, we're going to take the staff to Miami.
Yeah, I saw that. 2 years in a row.
This last year, we took them to Orlando.
Yep.
This year, I kind of threw out the word Jamaica up to them, you know what I'm saying? So they all think they're going to Jamaica, so hopefully it works out. You know, I kind of let Tamara handle that because she's great at planning.
Yeah.
You know, women are good at planning.
You got to let them do with their strengths.
I just show up. When it comes to the event, I don't got nothing to do with nothing. I just show up to the vacation. She's like, chef, the vacation's booked. I already got everything set up.
Yeah.
Just come on.
It's powerful, bro. Yeah.
Man, so we try to keep the morale up. The morale is very, very important.
What's some ways that you do that? How?
You know, little events, parties, making sure we stay busy so that way they make money.
100%.
That keep the morale up.
100%.
Just making sure we, you know, talk to the staff respectfully. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Having respect for everybody.
100%.
I mean, I know I get a little crazy in the kitchen. So, you know, you're going to have restaurant drama. You know, some people going to cuss each other. I was just in the back just listening to a conversation about two employees cussing each other out.
Right.
That's just that's the rest. That's the life.
The nature of the game.
Yeah, that's nature of the game.
Yeah. What do you think about, so what happens when you get a chef and you are training them up, you showing them, and they go do their own thing? What's your thoughts on that? But they intentionally came in there to just let me go and just roll.
Yeah, I really don't have no problem with that.
Got it, okay.
You know, because they're not going to make it the same way you make it, too.
Yeah. And I heard you say the other day I came to the restaurant, and it was like somebody hustling. And you're like, yo, I let him hustle in here. Like, he used to work here,
and now
he's hustling.
Yeah, the AirPods. My boy Ruben, shout out to Ruben.
Yeah, Ruben's a hustler. Yeah, he was?
Yeah.
He texted me the other day, like, bro, you need an assistant now?
That's right.
That boy's a hustler.
I tell him, I said, man, you're going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
I try to speak life into everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I see the Water Boys, when they standing out there selling their T-shirts, I say, yo, man, make sure y'all got your haircuts. Make sure y'all put your pants up. Make sure y'all look presentable, because sometimes people look at y'all and they think something different when y'all just trying to make a better way of living. You get what I'm saying?
100%. That's good, bro, man. I appreciate you coming on, man. Really gave us the insight of the restaurant business even more. And just, you almost make me say, the only way I'm probably going to get it, and you let me, the only way I'll probably do a restaurant if I had a chef as a partner.
Yes, yeah.
Because my skill set is the marketing. My skill set is bringing the people there. Like, that's my skill set. I think that's the only way a full-time chef all in, and they got equity in it. They put some money up just like me, and they ready to.
But you know what? Another thing is that, like a lot of people aren't taking like a lot of foodies aren't taking celebrities opening up restaurants serious because they think because they have a name, it's going to get the people there.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure that product
is good,
the service, the ambiance, the operations is running the way a restaurant is supposed to get.
If the operation's bad, you're not coming back.
No, nobody's going
to. No matter who name is on.
Nobody's going to. Like, you can have a restaurant. Sometimes you can have a restaurant that got mediocre food, but great customer service, and you feel like your family, and people will still go back. They come like, the food ain't that bad, we still gonna go there.
Yeah. For me, Chef, it's funny. So I'll go to a spot if the food looks amazing, I'm going.
Yeah.
Period. That gets me in a lot of restaurants. But if the service is exceptional and the food is mid, I probably still go back just because of the customer experience like fire, but yo, the food need to improve a little bit.
And you know what's so crazy? I was just telling somebody, you know, somebody had called me and they thought I still worked at this other restaurant, and they was asking us about the pandemic. Remember when the pandemic happened?
100%.
And they was asking us about how did y'all suffer in the pandemic? I said, no. I said, black restaurants were thriving in the pandemic.
100%.
We were doing great. None of us shut down.
Yeah.
We was doing numbers, record-breaking numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I was asking Gauthier. Gauthier was like, she was doing great. Shout out to Gauthier. You know, Ebony.
What spot is Gauthier?
Gauthier got Gauthier's on the south side.
Okay, I've never been there. Okay.
Yeah. Ebony, she got Nouveau.
Okay.
It's just a lot of great restaurants that's, you know, that were thriving during the pandemic. 100%. So, you know, we need to push that narrative a lot more, because I don't think nobody shut down.
That's good. Let me ask you this question. Is a restaurant worth, for profitability sake, is it worth doing without liquor?
Yes.
It is still.
Yeah, you can still.
Well, I said, yo, I ain't fooling with a restaurant without liquor.
Because you got to remember, once you do over a certain amount of sales in liquor, you got to pay the liquor taxes, and they go up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, that's new to me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like liquor's probably like 20% of our sales.
Yeah. Got it. So it's heavy food then.
Yeah, it's heavy food.
Y'all getting that food out, dog.
As long as that food is good.
Yeah, that food.
We got the staff though. You know, we got staff. We got one person for each station. We got the staff, so.
That's good. So what I really took away, don't cheat the business. Don't cheat it. Overstaff it. Overwork it. Overwork. Like, put some work in. And again, you just gave me a lot. And let me ask you this, because I've never, do y'all, or at this point, it's me, don't need it. Do y'all still use food bloggers? Like, because if I'm a restaurant owner, right, I'm like, yo, it's so easy. If your food is good for you to blow up, just go bring 10, 20 of these food bloggers in your restaurant and let them get busy.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny is a lot of the food bloggers that are blogging, kind of like, I've been knowing them. I mean, I've been knowing them for a while, so they kind of like came up in the game with me. So like, it's almost like yes and no, because you know, I was doing it. I was busy before food blogging became
a thing.
A thing.
Yeah, it's a thing now.
Yeah, it's a thing now. Which
shout out to
great.
Hungry Homegirl. Yeah. I go to all her spots she recommends.
Yeah, Gourmet Angie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all
yeah.
them Tav.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat Where, I don't know if you know Eat Where Erica used to be.
Nope, I don't know.
A big that was our food. She was like one of the only ones around
okay.
back then that was
okay.
black.
Okay.
But now she's doing marketing for people.
Yeah.
She's doing way bigger things now. So
that's
you know, we all got to start somewhere though.
1,000%.
No doubt.
Jeff, man, thank you for coming on, man. Let everybody know how they could tap in with you and let them know the address of the restaurants. Because if y'all listening, Toast on Linux is a staple here. It's that when you come here, I'm actually putting my own list together of the restaurants they got to come to, and that was definitely on my list. Wow. I'm only putting 5 restaurants on the list, and that's on that. So make sure you guys go there, man. It's 2, 1 in Buckhead and
yeah,
one
in
Midtown.
Yes.
But yeah, let them know how they could tap in with you.
You can come to our Buckhead location, 2770 Lennox Road, and our Midtown location is 349 14th Street. And my Instagram is Chef V Harper. And I see y'all at Toast.
Let's get it, y'all. So thank y'all so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys check out Toast. Y'all might see me there. Like I do the Toast on Linux one. I message your partner. I posted up. She said, "Which one you at?" I said, "The OG one."
The
so
OG,
I like
yeah.
the name of that. That's the first one. So make sure y'all tap in, y'all, and follow Chef, man. We'll see you guys on the next show. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting an extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below. Share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso. Same exact name on Twitter. Same exact name on TikTok. And follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.